Go ahead and get started with our post-race media availability. We are joined by crew chief Justin Alexander and car owner Richard Childress. Richard, we'll start with you. Two cars in the playoffs this year. How's it feel?
Feels great. Our guys have worked so hard. You know, Austin's been involved in several crashes, got him behind in the points, but we knew this was our shot to be able to win the race. He's always been good here, and we knew if we could dodge all the bullets and be there, we could have a shot at the end to win with him.
That's great. Let's go ahead and Justin, let's go to you next. With all the damage to the cars, quite a bit of mutilation to the cars out there today, how to have your guys pull it through and get to the end?
Thank you. Teamwork. We didn't have a ton of damage. We got involved in an incident on pit road early, and then we got involved in another incident that we had a little fender damage. But the guys did a good job taping it back up, getting the car fixed back up. And I think we did a backwards pit stop at one point today. But it was good. It was just a good team effort. Everyone on the team, the pit crew, all the guys and girls back at the shop that build these cars, just team effort.
Okay, we'll go ahead and open up to questions. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll go ahead and start over here, and then we'll go to Bob.
Thank you. Chris Gollin with News Daytona Beach. So at the end there, you had Austin Dillon up near the front. You had Tyler Reddick, another RCR car, and you had Noah Gregson, who was an RCR affiliate. I was just wondering, was there any communication between the teams about, you know, setting the three up for success when he needed to win the most?
I didn't hear it. They may have been listening more than I did. I didn't. I was hoping they wouldn't. But, you know, they're racing for the win as well. And Tyler was in. I know he helped push Austin some there. So, I didn't hear any communication. You can answer.
No, we didn't. I think it's Tyler's already in the playoffs, and he knew we needed the win. So he did a good job at staying on our bumper, helping us out, fending off the guys behind us, and the 62 as well. So hats off. You know, appreciate those guys helping us out.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, go over to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Richard, was there any sort of, I don't say chip on your shoulder, but, like, you know, the fact that they took 3.5 hours and didn't declare you the winner to get back racing, were you, first off, were you upset that they kept trying to dry the track? And then B, did you, you know, does it make the win any sweeter, the fact that, you know, they didn't call it and yet you were able to still win it?
Yeah, you take a win any way you can get it, but to come back and win it like that, it was special. It was a great team effort from everyone. And so it gave me time to go watch the PBR, and the Carolina Cowboys won.
Okay, go over here to Gluck.
Hey, Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Richard, obviously it seems like there's been a little bit of tension since Tyler made his announcement, but here he played the loyal company guy and pushed Austin into the playoffs to make sure he protected him. Does that help his standing at all within the walls of RCR?
Well, I talked to all of those guys after his announcement, and I said, we're going to give him 100% chance to win races and 100% chance at winning the championship. Now we've got two in there, so we've got to give both of them the same advantage to try to win the championship.
But will Tyler be looked at, like, more favorably at all that, you know, he didn't try to pull out a line, and, you know, he did his job in pushing Austin in?
They were all just working together, I think. I didn't talk to any of them. I didn't hear any communication on the radio. I was just standing up there, my old heart beating fast and watching it. Thank you.
Come up to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Richard, you know, from the outside, people are looking at, you know, are they going to race? Are they going to not? And people are maybe looking at it from their personal point of view of, you know, do I stay and watch the race or do I go do something else? From you, this is a business. This is a financial situation. Can you kind of, I guess, explain maybe some of the financial implications of this, getting into the playoffs, you know, the what could help you with the charter system? I mean, how one moment, one decision, one race, there's so much wrapped up into it and what this could mean for RCR as a business entity.
Yeah, Dustin, thank you. It is. It was really big to be able to get this car in a chase. There's bonus points. There's other things that go along with winning, and the financial aspect of it is a lot better than running second for sure and not making the chase. So, again, just like Justin said, it's a great team effort. And ECR Engines did a great job, and all of our guys back at the shop and the gals did a wonderful job for sure.
Is it something like this could be worth $1 million down the road, particularly if you finish well or win the championship, that this could have been $1 million day or $5 million day for the organization?
Yes, for sure. It can be for sure $1 million day. You know, just getting into chase, you know, our drivers have bonuses by getting into the chase. And crew chiefs, Justin, you made a little bit today too. So I don't know how much I'll end up with after I got done paying all the bonuses, but it was worth it. It was worth it.
Okay, go back in the back here.
Hello. So how much is having an affiliation with Calling and a lot of the other teams helped with the engine program exactly?
It's good. You know, we've did a deal with Hendrix, HMS. We created a entity called HCD, which is Hendrix and Childress, and we build the recipe for the engines, and all of us have the same engines, Colleague, RCR, the 43, the 42, today the 62. We did like 8 or 9 engines, and Hendrix had 4, 5, 6 in it, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions for over here, Jordan?
This question's for Richard. Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Your team has been linked with Kyle Busch. You know, speculation that he could be a potential landing spot. Any comment on that?
Not really. You know, Kyle's a great race driver. He and I have talked. We put all our differences behind us a while back, and he's a great race driver, and he'll land him a good ride somewhere for sure. You said that. I didn't.
Okay. I have a question over here.
Terry Sabiston, WNDB. Richard, you've been coming to Daytona for a lot of years, and you've got a lot of wins here. How does this one compare with the rain delay, with everything that happened today? It's got to be a great day to see, you know, your grandson in victory lane here again at Daytona. Now, tell us a little bit about the history and how you know, the feeling about today.
Daytona's always been special. The first time I came here was 1965, and I slept in a tent out here on Nova Road. I was working on another guy's car. Came back in 69 and ran a Grand American race, and came back with and raced myself here with several races, and came back with Earnhardt and Ricky Rudd and you know, all of Kevin Harvick. We've won 3 here. Earnhardt, which was a great win. Kevin had a great win right there at the end, and to see Austin win 20 years later to the day was very special when family wins.
Okay, we'll go over here to Al, and then Dustin and Dalton.
Hey, Richard, Al Pearson, Motor Week. Were you concerned at all that NASCAR was waiting a long time to either call it or what? I mean, it just seemed like they don't generally wait over 3 hours for a rain delay. Did it bother you at all?
Well, I thought they would call it earlier. We've been here quite a while, and the race fans have been here quite a while, but I understand they wanted to really put the show on. You had 2 guys trying to get in the chase, the 19 and the 12, and they wanted to give them a good, fair chance, and I wanted to see us have a fair chance getting in. We would have took it if it rained it out, but winning it like we did, hats off to Justin and his whole crew and the calls that they made to get us where he was.
Come back up to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Justin, can you give me a sense of the difference of being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs? I'm guessing just for most organizations, when you're not in the playoffs, suddenly you become the car that is the test car. And now you've got to, while you guys still go, those teams still go to the race to win each week, you know, how you pick your guys up, you know, what it's like being the essentially, you know, being classified the B team and the test team, and what that means and how that's different from what you guys get to do this year.
There's only 16 guys that go to the playoffs, so I think it's pretty special to get there. You know, we knew we had to come in here and win to do it, and we did it. It's good. I mean, we know we get to run for a championship, just like the other 16 guys or 15 guys with us. So it's obviously from our position, from the team position, from RCR, it's a great opportunity to have two cars that have a shot at winning the championship. So for us, we're going to go back and we're going to, you know, we've been prepared for Darlington, but we're going to go back and we're going to get ready and, you know, hopefully put on a show like we did a few years ago. So I don't know. It's obviously it's much better to go to Darlington, you know, with a shot to win a championship than it is to go there as a guy that can finish 17th at best. So we're going to go there. We're going to do our best and, you know, give it everything we got.
Okay, let's go over here to Dalton and then Daniel.
Richard, Dalton Hopkins with FrontStretch.com. Austin Dillon's move on Austin Cindric just kind of looked like a super speedway version of the bump and run. As somebody who has a history of drivers who perform the bump and run, I kind of wanted to know what your reaction was at the time, especially with everything that was on the line.
You know, I felt he was he kept running up behind him. I think he was trying to get him loose, and I didn't see that move. I don't know if he got so close he got him loose or if he bumped him a little to push him and got him sideways. But, you know, when you're racing for the win, that's what all of them's going to be doing.
Dan McFadden, FrontStretch.com. Justin, for you, how weird was it to watch those final, like, 16 laps with just 15 or so cars in various states of condition just going all out as much as they could for the win? Just how strange was that last 16 laps for you?
Well, when you come to a place like Daytona or Talladega, it's not very strange. You know, these races play out a little bit crazy sometimes. So it was we knew the two car was going to be strong, and we knew we had some Chevrolets and some guys that were going to help us and that could help us. And, you know, we knew it wasn't going to just be given to us. So, you know, Austin had to go out there and drive and Brandon spot and do their deal. And, you know, we spent 5 minutes trying to figure out where we're going to, you know, line up on the top or the bottom on the restart and who was going to help push us. So it, you know, without all the guys that are in there, it's certainly different, but you know, we had to battle just as hard as we would with 15 or 20 guys behind us. So just hats off to everyone.
Okay, any more questions downstairs? How about in the press box? Any questions in the press box?
No questions from the press box.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in, and congratulations, and good luck.